Bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us this morning, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray this morning. Amen.
Amen, amen. The last couple of weeks we have been looking at the idea of living lives that are pleasing to God. And we've looked at a few of the qualities or characteristics that cause God to delight in us. A couple weeks ago, we looked at having a deeper or greater reverence for God, or holy awe, as I called it, where we have this healthy fear of the Lord. So we remember that He is God and we are not. And it not only puts us in our place, but it actually encourages us that God is in control and does what we are not able to do. And we need to remember that. Last week, we talked about faith as that characteristic that, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I don't want to bury the lead once again this week, because we're going to be looking at, and I put it right on your back of your bulletin, you don't even have to fill it in. What pleases God? Boldness. Boldness. It's an interesting trait, especially when we look at boldness in our world. And you might not think that you are bold, but I promise you that you are bold about some things. Anyone have strong opinions on certain things? You may not want to share all of them right now, but you will be bold about certain things in your life. If you are a cat person or a dog person, you are bold about that conviction until the day you die. If you are a fan of a particular team, if you like a certain kind of coffee, there's all different ways that we are actually bold, even if that's not our natural inclination. We're bold about the things that hold meaning for us, the things that we value, both the little stuff that really isn't as important, like what kind of coffee I like to drink or tea, and the things that do matter in life, like the people in our life and our relationship with the Lord. The question isn't, are you bold, but what are you bold about? And in order to please God, how or am I bold about my faith in Jesus? If Jesus has truly made a difference in our life, then it should move us to share and live out the hope that we now have. And it's not going to always look the same for everybody. Some people are more or less gifted in those specific kinds of ways, but all of us, all who would call themselves a follower of Jesus, are called to live out our faith according to the convictions that we have in our heart. If there's one book in the Bible that I think highlights this characteristic of boldness, it is the book of Acts. The book of Acts, where just after Jesus ascends back to heaven, He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the new group of believers, they're trying to figure everything out, and they receive the Holy Spirit, and it unleashes a power beyond anything that they have experienced before. We see God send the Spirit, unleashing this power, and as soon as this happens, it also causes a lot of threats to rise up. It is a threat to the existing powers and authorities of that day. And under those threats, what do these early believers do? They pray for boldness in the face of suffering and persecution. And they choose obedience over safety and comfort. And it's interesting because safety and comfort are two of our sometimes values, and dare I say, they can be idols for us. There are times where I have not been as bold as I should be for Christ because I choose my own comfort and safety above that of someone else. Later on in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul actually continues this theme of boldness. He has so many examples where he talks about how the Spirit emboldened him to do what God had called him to do. And it's such a great book to dig into a little bit deeper. Number one, it's easier to read because it's a narrative style. So it's not as much of a slog as maybe working through Leviticus or some of the other books of the Bible that have a little bit more imagery. But what we see is a growing people of faith being united together as the church. And it was amazing, and it was messy, it was inspiring, it was difficult, and it was full of boldness. Boldness in the Bible is not a side quest. It is an entree. It is a main idea. It is a defining mark of the church, both then and for today, as we seek to live in ways that please God. So in spite of all the opposition and threats in that day, for those first century believers, those first followers of Jesus, the early church, how did they continue to boldly risk their very lives? We don't face nearly the same level of persecution as perhaps they did, but we deal with our own issues in our day as well, and there are some similar themes. I want to take a closer look at their story this morning. If you open up to Acts, we're going to be mostly in Acts 4 and 5, just highlighting a few verses. But it actually starts just after Acts 2, when the Spirit comes upon the believers and it starts to change their behavior when they're together. And they start to do things that they couldn't do before or were unable to do. And in chapter 3, we actually see some really amazing things happen. Peter and John, two of the core apostles, they had been called by the risen Lord Jesus to carry on his mission, and they were empowered to share the good news. And one of the first things they did was they started to share the good news, and they did some amazing miracles. But they were quick to tell people, it is not us doing this. It is the power of Christ at work in and through us. And they healed a man in Jesus' name who had been disabled since birth. And it was in public view of everybody. And even the religious authorities and leaders and teachers and scribes of the day, that whole group of influential people, they couldn't deny what had happened as well, because it happened in full view of everybody. And Peter and John were compelled to tell everyone that it was God's power at work that they were seeing. And you can imagine, to those who were in power, who had a little bit of control, this was very threatening to them. They're thinking, oh no, there's another rival who is vying for people's attention. And they didn't like that the name and power of Jesus continued to spread even after he had been crucified. And some, they didn't believe that he had been raised to new life. And so what did they decide that we have to do with these ringleaders, Peter and John? Well, let's just throw them in jail. That'll teach them a lesson. But as they did this, they were stunned by what they continued to hear. They were stunned that these two normal, seemingly normal guys spoke with such courage and conviction and passion. I draw your attention to Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, the members of the council, this is like the ruling religious council, they were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They saw them as normal guys. And they were speaking so confidently about Jesus and their faith in him and how it had transformed their lives and was powerfully changing the world, that they could not believe it. They were amazed at this. They weren't used to this happening at all. If anything, they were used to people hearing them speak and then just accepting whatever they said, these leaders. In In fact, the word ordinary that is used to describe them in this verse comes from the word idiotai, which you probably can understand the word that we still use today sometimes when we get upset. Or you're driving on the 4 and someone cuts you off and maybe use some even more choice language. But this word ordinary means just that. It means ordinary, untrained, unschooled, lacking formal skill or experience. Ironically, it doesn't mean illiterate. In fact, most people, because they had grown up in the synagogue, they knew how to read and maybe even write a bit. They were considered, in other words, amateurs, untrained. But the leaders, they saw them in this way because they're like, how could someone who hasn't sat formally in a rabbinic school teach and speak this way? They did not understand how they were so bold. Yet these were the people that God chose and used powerfully. And the good news for us today is that God continues to use people just like that. In fact, we should all be wonderfully grateful that God typically uses those who are ordinary and those who are overlooked, those who are underestimated, and those who are unseen. And maybe you identify with one of those particular words. I know there have been times where someone has underestimated me. And sometimes I do it to myself. I lack the confidence at times, and maybe you have felt that at times in your life. That's what makes the work of God in us so much more amazing to me. That we know that when God is working, it's not about us. And it's not anything that's within us inherently, but it's the power of Christ in us showing up in this world. I know that there are skeptical folks, though. And maybe you're thinking, yeah, but this is boldness and power. These are the apostles. I mean, aren't they like the super Christians? Aren't they like the special Christians? Well, according to the scriptures, they were used by God, but they were ordinary people. And maybe you're thinking, well, aren't they used to like being up front and, you know, going around and saying Jesus loves you and standing on the street corners? I'm more of an introvert. That's not really my thing. I'm more comfortable behind the scenes or out of the limelight. What we see in the Bible is that boldness is not a personality trait. It's a spiritual one. It's a spiritual one. And boldness isn't what we do or how we act when we feel strong. It's a natural outcome of walking close with Jesus. The closer we are to Jesus, the more he transforms us into his likeness. Now, at least in my life, I know this has happened in like sometimes really tiny incremental ways. And then there's also been seasons where there's been wonderful growth. And sometimes there's even been seasons of setback. And Peter and John may not have ever sat in a formal classroom to learn, according to the scribes and teachers of that day. But what they had done is walked closely with the master teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of Peter, we've shared stories, and sometimes we associate Peter with boldness. But the more I think about Peter's life as a disciple of Jesus, I actually don't think that he was that spiritually bold at first. I think what he actually was impulsive. And sometimes reacting in the moment, rashly. And we think that that is the kind of boldness that God wants for us. And I don't think so. I think that's the opposite of what God wants. He doesn't want us impulsively reacting rashly in the moment. That's not the kind of spiritual boldness that would please God. If anything, that probably does more damage. I know if I am impulsive or speak rashly, that usually doesn't end up very well. Thank you for your honesty. I'm sure we all can testify in different ways. It says that the leaders in the rest of this verse were astonished, and what? They took note that these men had been with Jesus. I think that this little last part of the verse is kind of the key to understanding this amazing transformation that we see in them. Spiritual boldness develops by spending time with Jesus, spending time in the presence of the Holy God. It's not something that we naturally have within us. We might be impulsive. We might be more, forceful. But spiritual boldness of the kind that pleases God develops by spending time with Jesus. It is both a gift and a sign that the Spirit is at work in their lives. And if we want our boldness for Jesus to grow, then we have to start by increasing the time that we spend with him. This is kind of like a positive momentum thing. We know this, like when you have a few small positive results, sometimes that inspires you to go a little bit further. Maybe you're developing some better habits, and when you have some small successes, sometimes that keeps you motivated to have a few more and a few more. I think the same thing is true when it comes to spending time with Jesus. The more time we spend it, our faith grows stronger, our boldness can increase, because we actually see that God is making a difference in our lives and in the lives of people around us. But as humans, we also know that the opposite can happen as well. The less time we spend with Jesus, the further away we can feel. It can actually diminish our spiritual hunger. And that can leave us adrift and feeling alone. And when we are adrift and alone, what happens? We are more susceptible to being pulled away by other cares of this world. When we forget about the depth of love that we just sang about, when we forget that depth of love that God already has for us, we aren't very bold. Because, like many things of life, out of sight, out of mind. In an age of distraction, we have to then be more intentional and purposeful about spending time in God's holy presence. There's a reason that my phone has Do Not Disturb, and I sure do love it. It actually says focus, do not disturb. Those focus settings are wonderful in an age of distraction that will keep tempting me away from spending time with God. We need his power and presence in our life. Honestly, I just remembered, I forgot to turn my phone off of Do Not Disturb, and then I had a whole flood of things come through all at once. So it's kind of a double-edged sword at times. We need God's power and presence in our life. We need our minds renewed and our steps directed. We need Jesus to build and strengthen our faith. And when we spend time with God, all of that can happen. For Peter and John, they had done that. They had put in the time. They had walked with Jesus on this earth. They heard and saw him teach. They saw him perform miracles. And what happened? Their boldness started to grow more and more. And what did this cause the religious leaders to do? Well, they got angry. They got defensive. They saw what Peter and John were doing as a threat. And these people, and we don't always want to just single them out. They're sometimes representative of all who are opposed to the way of Jesus. But they were more fearful of losing their power and control than they were interested in rejoicing that a man had been healed in Jesus' name. And they didn't want this to spread any further. So what did they tell these apostles? They said, don't do it anymore. Don't speak his name. Don't preach the name of Jesus. We don't want you to do that anymore. And then they wanted to throw him in jail again. But Peter and John replied in Acts 4, verse 19, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? Oof, This would be a direct challenge of the authority. You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And they were threatened again, but then they were released because this group of religious leaders, they couldn't figure out what to do with them because everybody's watching. This was not done in the dead of night, but in full view of everyone else. They didn't want to start a riot in the streets, so they released them, and immediately what did Peter and John do? They went back to all the other believers, and they told them what had happened, and what happened as a group. Together they raised their voices in prayer to God. And it wasn't simply a prayer of thanks or blessing. It wasn't a prayer for safety or for payback, although sometimes those can be prayers that we offer at times. No, their prayer was a prayer for boldness. Verse 29, it says, "And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word." I'm glad that they prayed this, because when threats come, that's when our fight or flee instinct often kicks in. And so that's why it can be our prayer too. Lord, make me bold. A couple of years ago, we did a series called Dangerous Prayers, and that was one of the dangerous prayers. Lord, make me bold. And when we pray a prayer like that, watch out, because God actually can do some pretty amazing and sometimes scary things in our life. He can make us do and say and go where maybe we don't want to go or do or say. I do want to make one caveat to this. This is a mistake that I think Christians make sometimes. I don't want us to confuse boldness with aggression. That's not the kind of boldness that I think God is looking for. He's not looking for me to get in someone's face and to pound them with the love of God and say, "Repent or you're going to hell," even if that is true. That's probably not the way that he's wanting us to be bold. It's not about being more aggressive or getting in someone's face or bravado or false bluster. Those are merely human things that we do to kind of hide our own weakness and pain. That's what bullies do. That's not boldness. A spirit-infused boldness gives confidence and courage and acts out of love, not fear. Listen to the rest of their prayer. In verse 30, it says, "Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. And Peter and John kept at it. They kept on doing this, sharing the good news of Christ. And miracles happened, and people were saved by Jesus, who was working powerfully through them. And if this was a movie, this would be the part where the music swells, they ride off into the sunset, you see the end on the screen, and everyone goes home feeling happy. But not in this case. Because boldness often leads to opposition. Spiritual boldness for Christ often leads to opposition. Because when we are bold for Christ, guess what? The enemy hates that. And the enemy will use every trick and tool in the book to try to come after you. And this is what happened to the apostles when people were being healed and lives were being changed by the power of God. That same group of religious leaders, they got jealous of all that they saw those two guys doing. And in Acts chapter 5, it says they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. So if you're keeping score, this is the second time in a week that they're in jail. For most people, this would be about the time that you say, "I'm out. I'm going to tap out here. This is a little bit too much for me. I'm trying to do all this work for God, and I just keep getting sent to jail. I prayed, and my life got harder. I don't know if I have what it takes. Maybe I'm wondering where God is at." Wouldn't it be easier just to give up or run away or find an easier way than to be bold? Boldness often raises up forces who will seek to oppose you. Because when you are bold for Christ, you are on the front lines in the battle that he is fighting. The good news, however, is that God honors those steps of bold faith. In the very next verse in Acts 5, it says, "During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out." It's just written almost as like a throwaway line, like, oh, by the way, this amazing thing just happened. It's almost as if Peter and John weren't surprised, like this was just normal. They believed so much that God would do something, and boy, he did. He acted in a powerful way. All that time with Jesus had helped them to walk by faith, not by sight, as we shared that verse last week. They believed God was going to do something, and he did. The angel said to them, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people all about this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. In other words, their instructions were, keep on doing what you've been doing. Keep on doing the same things that have landed you in jail a couple of times already. Because spiritual boldness requires faith to follow. Faith to obey the word and leading of the Lord. Faith to go where you might not want to go. To do what you might not want to do. To say what you might not want to speak. I've been bold for Christ, and I've been timid for Christ, if I'm honest. There's times I've chosen my way and not his. And I would imagine if each of us look in the mirror, we could probably say a similar thing. And it raises kind of a powerful and painful question for us. I put it at the bottom. Is my faith strong enough to believe in Jesus, but too weak or timid to be bold for him? It's a very hard question and hard to answer. That's why I return to the simple idea we started with, spending time with Jesus. If I'm not as bold as I want to be or would like to be, then I have to spend more time in his holy presence. There's no shortcut. There's no way around it. Spiritual boldness isn't a personality trait. Aggression might be a personality trait, but spiritual boldness isn't. Boldness is a sign of the Holy Spirit at work and sign of a deeper relationship with Christ. Just like the question on the back of your bulletin then, what act or step of faith is God calling you to take? Your step might look different than mine. It might look different from the person next to you. I love the book of Acts so much. It's refreshing. It shows us a messy and inspiring kind of faith. A group of people learning how to walk with God. Sometimes getting it right, sometimes getting it wrong, but choosing to stick together and walk together. When they trusted Christ enough to boldly act together, then look at all that God was able to do. Over and over again, his Spirit moved powerfully, not just in them, but in their communities, in their land. I want to encourage you to keep walking this life of faith. Don't give up. Keep on developing and practicing those spiritual disciplines that will strengthen your faith and increase your boldness in Christ. And as those spiritual muscles in you grow, be amazed at what God can do in and through you and in us together as his people. Amen. As we pray this morning, I encourage you to pray along with me in your heart. God, we thank you for this time. And we say now, Lord, make me bolder. Make us bold so that together as your people and as your church, we can make a difference for your sake and the sake of your kingdom. We pray for boldness through your Spirit to help us show and reflect the love of Jesus into our world. We pray that you would help us to be your people, forces for good, in our cities and our neighborhoods and our families and our workplaces and in our schools and with our friends and with people we meet. Lord, will you interrupt our lives in good ways so that we can move to where you are at work? We want to join you. Now strengthen our faith so that we live according to your will and follow your way. May our lives reflect the new life we have received from you. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
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 As children of God, receive these words. Go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Proclaim the good news where you live your life. Serve the Lord with gladness. Go now in peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Church, have a great week. Look forward to seeing you again.